It's a blessing to see brother singing that song. I tell you, it's really a blessing to see brother Steve and brother Eddie just still plowing with the hope. It's just a blessing. You know, I left my notes over here. Excuse me. Thank you, Lord. Lord's good, ain't he? Boy, he knows how to fix you up quick. No, on the street, you can mess up. Ain't no problem on the street. You can mess up on the street. Not at Oakno. No, sir. Well, most of y'all are home crowd, and you know, I say home crowd. About the 10 years that I've been here, I think I know most of y'all. There's a few in there. I remember Mr. Campbell when I first got here. I was he was singing, and not so much the stomping singing, but he was singing. But greetings to your brother again and your family. And I see there is some visitors that I don't know that well. But praise the Lord. It's good to have all of y'all. Amen. Why don't we have a word of prayer? Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are good and you're worthy, Lord, to be praised. And Lord, you're worthy to serve, Father. And Lord, here I am, Father. I ask you to use me. And I ask you to bless your hearers, Father. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was kind of pressed to kind of bring kind of what's happened in the last 3 years. But before I tell you about the last 3 years, I want to kind of give you a little testimony of what's happened to me. I was a sinner on the road to hell, and God showed me that hell is a real place. He showed me that I deserved it, and only by His grace I'm going to escape it. And I just thank the Lord that He saved my soul, and I like that idea about teaching the disciples, shall we say, the sons of God, the born again, to teach them to know how they can be on solid ground, because that's very important. I appreciate that message this morning about going out and teaching all nations. That's a very important message, because just coming along there and making a profession of faith and then letting a person go on, God does save them like that. But it makes a whole lot of difference when a person's been taught right and can have some solid foundation. And I thank the Lord for you, brethren, that have given me that. You've watched me fall, you picked me back up, and may God get all the glory. Well, I know where I'm going, and I say I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going when I die, and God has called me as a missionary. And he first started out, he called me as a tent maker. If you would, look at Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. You see the life of Paul. Paul is just when you think of missionary, you think of Paul. Of course, you think of the Lord Jesus Christ too. And I'm really encouraged by the Lord Jesus Christ, his ministry. Encouraged me when I had to come back from Puerto Rico in 3 years' time. But you know, really, if you look at it, the Lord's ministry himself only had a ministry of about 3.5 years. Even though he was in preparation all along, but his ministry, his mission was to go die for the sins of all mankind. And anyway, let's look at Paul, Acts chapter 18, to read the first 3 verses. It says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he, Paul, was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Now we see that Paul joined up with this couple, and they were tent makers, actual tent makers, I believe. They that's what they did to sustain themselves. And you know, I look at my life, I look at my ministry, that's what it was. I had a call to Puerto Rico, and the Lord took about a year and a half. But the Lord opened the door to go to Puerto Rico through a Christian affiliate. I say affiliate, Christian ministry there, a Mennonite congregation, and I joined up with them. So I guess they're kind of the Aquila and the Priscilla, even though I wasn't joined up with them in their beliefs, because when I got there, I saw some things that I did need to take stands on, and that's part of why I'm back early. So really, and I think about it, you know, that Paul, he was a single man, and he'd go and he'd do his ministries as the Lord would lead him. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, Roland, what do you think about going alone, you know, or so forth? And maybe you're not as effective if you go alone. Well, that's probably true. That's probably true, and I think I learned that effectiveness will come in the twos as the Lord sent them out. But Paul, you know, I think about Paul, and I think about some of the Old Testament characters, how God called him by himself, and God didn't always call him to do the mission, which was part of that, but he called him to do a mission in them, to do a mission in that person. And I can say that's true in my life. That 3 years was something that God really, really did something to me, and I just praise the Lord for it, and I rejoice in it, and he ain't done with me yet, so you know, just keep looking up to Jesus, because that's where it's all at. But I didn't go alone anyway. I went with my wife, and you know, she's a Christian, and she's another person. Yes, we're one, but she's another person. We went together, and she was a real helpmeet, a real blessing, and you know, without her, I thank the Lord for a wife that submits, a wife that's not perfect, but a wife that tries her hardest, and that virtuous woman shall be praised. Amen. So, y'all women, okay? I mean, you know, now watch my wife fall tonight, right? And, you know, but praise the Lord. She's been a blessing. I thank the Lord for her. I gotta say, Academia Menonita was like my, that Priscilla Aquila that I had met with. And, you know, I got there and really the first day I got there, I was checked out by, I like to call her Mother Teresa. She's an American. She's been in Puerto Rico for a good, over 50 years, but she was like the strength of that assembly, of that ministry, not just there in the part where I was at, which was Caparra Heights, but in Ay Bonito and these other parts. There's about three or four, cities there that this Mennonite congregation was expanding out. Anyway, she checked out my doctrine, and you know, I left here like a fireball, you know. In other words, I couldn't look back. I had to go. And when I got there, she caught me in my fire, you know, and she said, well, how do you believe about this and that? And then I, you know, I just laid it on the line what I believed. And we got down to the eternal security issue, and there's where the ropes were kind of let loose at the beginning. And like I went down there I had a job position awaiting me as a maintenance supervisor, and I'll get into that a little later. But anyway, she had parts of getting me out of that position. Well, praise the Lord, the Lord used her. You know, I rejoice. You know, even though I see men getting away, men getting in the devil using men to hinder the work of God, regardless of the hindrances, regardless of what happens. The Lord is going to get glorified if we just submit to His will and humble ourselves and take the flack, take the affliction, take what's coming to us. You know, it's all worth it all, because the Lord gets glorified at the end. Anyway, I could probably talk all night about the Academia Menonita, because that was a mission. I think that the Lord sent me there to do a work, and I believe I think about some of the students that I was able to get in contact with and so forth. Thinking about that, my wife did some ministry there with the school, you know, ministering to the children there, and some good things happened, and we're gonna see some souls in there. We're gonna see some, you know, well, they won't be young then when we see them, but we're gonna see some of those youths that I remember one service my wife gave, and she made an invitation, and a bunch came forward. Now I don't know who was real and who was not, but they was convicted, and you know. And then we continued on. There was a sister there, that she lived behind us there in Puerto Rico. She was a Bible teacher. And she believed like we believed. She believed the doctrines like we believed them, and she took up on them, discipled them, and so forth. But anyway, that's part of what's happening over there in Puerto Rico. Like I said, I could talk about that more, but I won't. Anyway, so what else I did over there? I street preached, and that was good. That was tough, reason I say it was tough, Puerto Rico is a tough land in a sense where it's been evangelized. You know, I kind of came in behind some of the other workers. I think about that message this morning. It kind of cleared up probably what happened there in Puerto Rico. The Christians, when they went there, or the ones that are there, aren't doing the job right. They're not telling the truth. I mean, they're kind of washing over the gospel. And the right gospel, the truth, where we was talking about this morning, you know, the rooting out and the plucking out, you know, preaching against the false worships and the false doctrines and preaching truth, hadn't been done there. It's just been caked over. So Puerto Rico is a place that that when I got there, I said, Lord, why am I here? Everybody says, Jesus. You don't see the outright Mary worship, the Catholic out there. You do see it, but not as much as you do in Mexico. And it was real hard on me to take that. But then Lord said, just hang around a little while and you'll see what's going on. So anyway, I dealt with that. And we street preached out there and didn't see much fruit through the street preaching. But one thing I know is many tracts had gone out, many tracts, and some of the tracts that y'all sent me, and you know, it just, the place got flooded with the gospel of the grace of God. And I trust that now the thing has been rooted out again, plucked out again, what have you, and maybe someone will come in and reap the labor. And that's good too, because, well, I'm kind of going ahead of my message, because there, towards the end there, I want to talk about a brother that came to know the Lord, and he's on fire. But praise the Lord. Anyway, what else I did over there, I was by the grace of God, I say all this, I was nothing. I am nothing. Jesus Christ is everything. And he'll make you know that, and he made me know that at the time I was there. I mean, through their denominational belief, their denominational traditions, you know, and so forth. And so I was already kind of counted out, but they gave me that opportunity to minister there, and I took advantage of it and the privilege of it, and I appreciate the experience and the time that I got there and seeing a soul come to Christ through that ministry, and that Ada, and she's a blessing, and praise the Lord. It's not our labor, it's not in vain in the Lord. Anyway, so I was able to do that, and I praise the Lord for that. All right, let's look at a text in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Some of y'all look pretty tired. I see Brian over there nodding his head. And Brian's probably tired because I always talk to him. Hey, brother, how about this? Hey, brother, how about that? Can you help me here? Can you help me there? He's tired here in Rome. He's agreeing. Yeah, okay, he's agreeing. Huh? Amen. Encouraging, brother. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, there's some persecution you need to expect if you're being called. That's just part of it. It just comes hand in glove. You just got to get ready. If you're going to stand for truth, stand to do the work of God right, just be ready to suffer some things. That's just part of it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12. It says, and labor working with our hand, with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and our offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Then down in verse 16, he says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Paul says these are part of things. Laboring with his own hands, okay. Then he goes on, he says, he was reviled, excuse me, but he blessed. And you know, I think about me, the two employees that I had under me when I first went over there, they were revilers. I mean, you know, I needed it though. You know, I needed straightening out myself. But I tried to do things the best I could and get this maintenance department going for the school and get it right so that school would be in tip top. But them guys, they were something. They were revilers. The spirit of rebellion was strong, not just there, but in all Puerto Rico. You see a real rebellious spirit, and I say rebellion, that they do not like authority. And I think that's true with all mankind. All mankind is sinful, and he doesn't like to be under somebody. And that's the problem with us. I think that's probably part of God's mission for me. But, I saw the rebellious spirit and I dealt with it. I tried to deal in kindness with these people and it just didn't work over. Before long, they took me out. They demoted me of the position and they put me in the kitchen. And there's where the good work started. There's where the trash started coming and the dead rats and the cockroaches and all that where you have to clean up. I mean, I was the maintenance man of the kitchen. I was the one that cleaned the tables for all the students after they got done. And these students, it was a private Christian school. These students are, very wealthy, with very wealthy parents and all that. And they're kind of brought up with everything right there at their, how it is. Anyway, so I had to, they'd leave all their stuff, and I'd have to come in and clean all that up, and that was real humbling. You know, you come in there and you're maintenance supervisor, and you want to do things right and all that, and everybody's looking up to you. Hey, can you fix this for me? And boy, you're doing a good job, and this and that. Awesome, boom, you get cut out, and you're hauling the trash out. Praise the Lord! I tell you that. Woo! Talk about wanting to cry sometimes. I'm talking about it. Sometimes I did cry. Just holding tears back, but I was crying. Praise the Lord. I rejoice in it now, though. Back then, it wasn't too much a rejoicing time. But that was a real humbling thing, and I saw it coming from the head of the place. I saw it because she got in, this woman again, she got into our department. She kind of took over the area of that and says, we need to do this, we need to do that. And she was putting the axe to the thing. So I rejoiced. I saw it as a spiritual battle, but it was tough. Amen. It's like it says there, being defamed, verse 13, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and all the offscouring of all things unto this day. And it goes on. So that verse right there, that defaming and that part there where we're made as the filth of the world really blessed me. It hurt me, but it blessed me. It says, that's just part of it. Get used to it. And you know, I think about God really made me see what I was there for, because I was getting caught up with this job position, you know, getting things right. And then God humbled me. He says, now you can look up. I was up looking down, and he had me look up. Amen. And so the other battle I had was with the gospel of the persevering unto the end. I saw that, and I said, the Lord just told me get after it, and I started dealing there. And then towards the end of the ministry there at the school, I said, Lord, I want to give to you the best way I can, and how can I? And now that I'm kind of ending the ministry here, so I started ordering bunches of Chick Tracks in Spanish. And I mean a bunch. And them kids, towards the end, they were just sharing them. They were getting, because they told me that they didn't want me sharing my belief there at the school with any of the employees and with any of the students of how I believe in eternal security. And they told me, you know, because at one time we were ministering, like I say, my wife was ministering in the church and at the chapel, they call it a capilla. Okay, she was doing that, and so was I. But then that trend changed and all that, and they said, no, we don't want you doing it no more. And so in that point, I said, it's better to obey God rather than man. And so I started with the, and I was doing it kind of, you know, sneakily at first. Towards the last few weeks, I was getting real bold, you know, just, you know, that's how we are, right? But I had to get after it, and I knew I did. And we got a bunch of Chick Tracks out for the Lord there at the school. We're going to see the harvest. All right. Well, then let's kind of finish it off. Not take too much time. John chapter 12. Think about fruit. You know, ask yourself, have you seen fruit? I asked myself. I didn't see a whole bunch of physical fruit. I've seen some false professions. I say false professions. I knew one guy that made a profession to Christ right down the street, right in front of my house. And there's some things that we as Christians have to give account of. I mean, God forgives us the sin of thing, but we have to give account of our stewardship. And I think about this one guy. I kind of snapped on him because he was coming around and kind of looking for help, begging, what have you. But I, you know, he made a profession. It's one of those, you say, like surface professions. Then I saw him again later on, and he was doing the same thing. And I kind of got on him for it, you know. I said, hey, you know, I thought he told me he was leaving and so forth. I've kind of given you things that's dealing with me. Maybe you're not all clear in this, but just try to get the idea of it. But us as Christians, we have to give account how we handle those that say they make a profession and then they leave or what have you. And then, you know, right away we ready to say, well, you're out, you know. And I kind of got on them, and the Lord hadn't given me peace about that situation. I never got to see him again. But, you know, there's some things that we're going to have to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, hey, how did you handle this little one, you know. And I want to share that with you to share it with you in order that you might be careful of how we handle the young ones, you know, or maybe they're false professions and how we handle them. So anyway, the fruit, like I said, I didn't see too much literal fruit, but then at the end, right at the end, I saw some fruit. But let's look at John 12 and verse 23 says, and Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Amen. You know, there it is. Jesus had to die for the sins of all mankind, for your sin, for my sin. He had to die. And when the sacrifice was completed, he rose, you know, now the fruit comes. The labor, we see the harvest, we see the souls, we see many here that are saved, you know, and you know, we see the results of him dying. And I kind of want to bring this to our attention to, like I had to die there in Puerto Rico. I had to die. Death, after death is life in that sense. And listen to me a minute. You know, I came in a high position, so-called. Then I was brought low. The death came, but God was glorified. Like it says, verse 23, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And that hour came, death came to my whatever, pride or whatever at that time. And God was glorified.
Praise the Lord.
And you know, I think about him taking us out of Puerto Rico. It was the right timing because we needed to come out. It's just like we weren't that. The fireball kind of ended, down the way. But I believe because our debt, our coming out of Puerto Rico, there's going to be a fruit that's going to maybe not be seen here, but it will be seen in heaven. And I want to tell you that in order for there to be fruit in your life, there needs to be death. There needs to be death. I don't know what it is that the Lord might have you, what he might be telling you that needs to die. Could be a sin, that's a besetting sin or whatever that you need to deal with. And then deal with it and then deal with it with God. Just keep dealing with it till you get victory. And you'll never get complete victory, I'll say, on this earth, but keep dealing with that thing until you do get that victory where you can walk in the power of the Lord. Well, it might be a sin. It might be death to a job, maybe. It might be death to a job. I don't know what, like Brother Adrian was saying, make sure you know what you're vowing. But if God's been dealing with you about something needs to die, then you think about it. Or there won't be no fruit. There won't be no fruit. Could be a death to a ministry. Like in my case, in Puerto Rico, it had to be a death in order for fruit to come. Let's read that verse again, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And that's what the Lord wants. And I think about Tony Lopez. He didn't come to the Lord by, I'm talking to him and I lead him to Christ. No, but I was able to deal with him about a year before that in a strong way. He was a Puerto Rican raised in New York, and he's planning on coming through here, and I'm hoping he will. And Tony right now, he is on fire. He has that first love. He came to Christ through the church, but he came back to me to disciple him, and that was a blessing. That was a blessing. And then Tony goes on and he wins his father-in-law, Kama. And we have that on tape. Maybe, Lord willing, we'll get it on to so y'all can see it. But Connell has a real strong testimony. Connell is an old man, and like I say, I hope you ought to see that testimony. And then there's another person that he won the Lord. He's Tony saying, I don't know about him though. He's kind of, he's not sure about him. But Tony's young, but Tony is an absorber. He's like I say, a sponge. He ran into some money right before I left. And, some money that his mother had gained and she gave it to him. And Tony says, look, I want you to get me a library before you go. So I was able to order him some Ruckman material. And he's sound on the King James. And, he's dealing over there in Spanish, but I think Tony will do a lot more than what I could have done. I rejoice in that. And, Tony right now he called me the other day because praise the Lord. I want to glory in Tony because then he'll fall. But, there's a radio station there in Puerto Rico called WBMJ. It's an American Christian station, kind of like KDRY here. But it does minister in Spanish. But there's a big English-speaking crowd in Puerto Rico. But Tony has been up. They offered him, I think it was a half hour or an hour radio program on WBMJ. But he had to get some references, and I was one of them, and I think one was his pastor down there. And so he had to get like three references, to check Tony out for the radio station. But I believe he's going to go through with prayer. He's going to go through, and he's even asked me, because he's in love with Dave Jones' message. I mean, he'll hear him, and man, he went out and bought him a guitar. He said, "Come on, be like Dave Jones," he's an older fellow. I mean, he's in his, I say, mid-40s, and he's gone through groups like the Jam. Older man. He's gone through groups like the James Gang. I don't know if y'all know some of you younger fellas, or some of us older fellas maybe. But he's gone through some rock and roll groups and what have you. But now he's serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, y'all pray for Tony and Cano and his other convert. Okay. So I believe there's the fruit. The fruit, we'll see it in its time. So let's just praise the Lord and keep on with the mission conference. I wanted to tell y'all these things so y'all would, y'all kind of in the dark about what I've been doing. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.